Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? This is walking my kinds, not to be confused with sitting my kinds. I know, we may not need it. We can just shout real loud. Thank you for being here today for the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon. Larry Schrader and I have had the privilege of co-founding this and co-hosting it for 34 years. I'm going to put this right in here. And the purpose is to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. We try to remain denominationally inclusive and politically neutral and just keep the focus on Jesus and how he has impacted the life of a businessman. Our main speakers are always businessmen who profess Christ, who are not in full-time ministry and who are currently employed. And we also have an open mic at the first Wednesday of the month, thank you, Don, and where anybody can share 3 to 5 minutes of how Jesus has impacted their life. One of the things that I think is a key is to surround yourself with people who are willing to believe what the Bible says, even though the circumstances don't seem to be good or line up or whatever. And that's one thing I'm trying to do a little bit more in my life, and yet not criticize people that don't feel led to do that. Today, Larry Schrader's not here yet. I think he's coming. Craig Cantrell, our wonderful Vice President of Audio, is not here. And our Senior Vice President of Name Tags, Larry, how about them, whoever, Okeson, is not here today. So we have a good crowd, the right people to be here to hear an amazing testimony by my friend Bill, what's his name? Okay, and we do have Gary Pernice here. He was kind enough to say he would open with the meeting. He's limited to 20 words because he says he gets paid by the word. So let's see how he pulls this one off. Please welcome Gary Pernice.
Well, we heard the whole list of everybody that's not here, which tells you why he went ahead and selected me. There's only about four of us to choose from, and I got the short straw, right? No, seriously, thank you. I hope everyone's had a good week. It's been a very exciting couple of weeks for Mary Jean and me, and we're just feeling the economy and things in our life has really picked up in a way that we had not seen for a while. So it's been a pretty exciting term, and we've taken some vacations and stuff. Let's bow our head in prayer and go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We sit in just awe and admiration of the Creator of the universe having a personal relationship with each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've chosen us to be a joint heir with your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you put us in a land of the United States of America. We're free. We're safe. We're able to speak the word of God without fear of persecution or imprisonment or death. And that's a rare thing. And we just thank you that you've chosen us in this country to be blessed the way it has been. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless our speaker today for the food that each of us is enjoying. And for those who have prepared it, we ask a special blessing on their lives. We have a friend. Her name is Susie Carter. This morning we learned that she has pancreatic cancer diagnosis. We rebuke that report, and we ask your great physician son to heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her soles and remove that evil report and to come back with a great testimony. And we believe these things will actually happen so that we are believers in not just speaking the word but living the word. We thank these things in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. I'm going to try to figure out why the... oh, there it's working, I think. Okay. So just to reiterate that Craig Cantrell, our ace recording guy, is not here today. So I'm trying to do the best I can, and I'm not sure I'm hitting the top of the line there as far as the ace audio guy. So you'll have to forgive me for that. Just wanted to share briefly some of the things that I believe the Lord has put on my heart. The importance of your walk, I believe, being reflected in something that the world can see and identify with as being supernatural. You know, Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and thousands of people followed him. He didn't have an ad campaign. He didn't have a YouTube channel. He didn't have a truck driving with speakers on it. But he healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons. And I believe it also applies in our business environment, not only how we do business, but that there's a supernatural element to it that maybe we can't even clearly explain or understand. So I think we live in a Western culture where that's not very popular. We're called to kind of do our own thing, make it happen, work hard, and if you do the right things and push the right buttons, you'll get the right results. Well, sometimes that works, but guess who gets the credit? Moi, or thou, or something. And I think that's okay. You know, we can always acknowledge the way that the Lord has gifted us in certain ways, but to have something just supernatural happen that really can't be explained by the normal events and the equations of life, I think, is a way that that people that maybe aren't religious will see something that might draw them to Jesus. The purpose of this luncheon, again, is to provide a platform for that. We have CDs of past speakers. Also, you can go to the website and go to nfl-luncheon.com, put /the year, and that gives you the MP3s of all of the testimonies for that year. And we've done that since 2008. We also have if you haven't been to the website, you can go to past speakers by last name, and you can scroll down that and see who all have spoken here. We've been meeting here a little over 15 years. Our first speaker here was Steve Bartkowski, and we've had Truett Cathy, Dan Cathy. We've had several other pro football players share here, and so that that's part of the motivation to doing this, is so that you can hear how Jesus has impacted the life of a businessman. Jim Sowers, you have something you'd like to share? Larry's not here right now, and just wanted, since you took a bite, I thought that might be a sign from above. Are you? To behave? Okay. Yeah, come on up here and share. Welcome, Jim Sowers. How about them high jumpers? Yeah. Tell us the world record you have, and...
Georgia. Yeah, Jim Barron, a good buddy of mine, good buddy of his. Yeah, he was in school with a guy that was in the Olympics in Montreal. Jim Barron held the high jump record at Georgia at 7'6". So, right. Well, I'm not jumping right now. I got a messed up knee that I don't know how it happened, but it happened. So maybe later you can anoint me and pray for me and everything else to have it heal. It's like the guy said, it's like a Teflon skillet, and except it just didn't wear it. You had a fork, put a chunk out of it, the back of my cartilage behind you. So, yeah. So anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to visit Ken today. Ken had Chadwick, the guy I told you about that had the kidney transplant and all that, and I'd want you to remember him in our prayers as before we get out of here. And I'll just go ahead and let you, Larry, if you want to say something. Larry Schrader. Yeah.
On the way here, I thought of, I'm glad Stacy's not here, because this might bring up an old sore spot. I had a UPS person that had been referred to me to help find a house. And found a house in my subdivision, Stacy's listing. And I end up working with Tony Zogby from UPS. And on the way here, I thought of Tony because there was one morning I got with him to go and do the contract on that particular house. I said, man, this has been quite a morning. I've been putting out fires. And he said, are you a fireman too? he knew I was so busy. And I feel like this morning that I need to say I've been putting out fires, but what I've really been doing is trying to save a couple of closings. You know, how many's in the real estate business? Gary, you know enough about the real estate business to know that just before the people wire the money, they go over and check and make sure they understand everything. And yesterday I got something that somebody didn't understand, so I have to go back to the lawyer and get him to redo something, and what a hassle. You know, sometimes I think real estate is so bad because you have so many different people that control whether you go to closing and get a check or not. And I could go into who all that is, but instead I'd rather think about what I was thinking about early this morning. And I'll share a quote with you. As we remember and retell what he has done through our testimonies, faith is created and he is able and eager to do it again. That's what Dan Ferrelli said in his book, Kingdom Culture. And I thought of that this morning because last week, Amy Hudson was here, who was a very important part of my story, where several of us started doing that, some completed and some didn't. But Amy sat down with me after the meeting and we talked about the different parts of our life that could be part of the story. And I shared with her a deal on Deborah and my first date where we went to a Braves game, and I won't tell you the details of it. But she said, Larry, that's a great part of your story. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this morning, I was thinking about all the books. Now, I'm sort of a political junkie. I watch a lot of Fox, and I recognize that there are a lot of books being written that have a lot of stuff that's not true in it. And there are a lot of people looking for the right time to bring something out, like the New York Times here in the last few days had an article that said some things about Judge Kavanaugh that were absolutely not true. But they did not say that in there until they got really under the gun. And they said, well, we just meant to put that in there and we didn't do it. Well, it turns out that was put out just when one of the guys that was involved in it was releasing a book. So it got him in the limelight. Made me think about the fact that we have to really weigh things out to know whether it's true or not. You can go on the internet and see so many things that will amaze you. But don't be amazed too quickly. Because a lot of that is made up stuff. And people have figured out, you know, the algorithms on the computer where they can tell what really interests us. Man, they got those ads popping up to you, even on your phone. They're appealing to us to try to get the money out of our pocket. That's just the way it is. But if we realize that and not respond to it, it doesn't make it any less. It just enables us to, on my phone now, I've got a message that says, sorry, I can't talk now. If it's a number I don't recognize, I send that message. You know, many times it won't even accept the message because it's one of these machines, robocalls or whatever. As we learn what's true and what's not true, it really becomes more difficult unless you're in this book, the Bible. And I started thinking about this morning, of all these books written, and as Amy says, you know, that could be part of your story. That could be part of your book. Well, we think about how this come about. Most of us just take the Bible and it's always been. The Bible's always been. Well, it really wasn't. If we consider the way this thing got together, you know, Moses wrote like the first five books of the Old Testament. And Jesus, when he was on earth, he even referred to the scriptures. Many times he'd say, well, in fact, I think he told Satan one time, it is written that you not should not live by bread alone. And so many times in there, I can tell that Jesus is referring back to what happened in the scripture. We should be the same way. We should understand the scripture. We should understand what happened in the Old Testament. But more than anything, I feel that's really pertinent in our life is what's in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we get at least the four Gospels was actually written after Christ arose. And they decided this is really worth telling the story of Christ. And they started writing it up, different people writing different things. And you know, there are several times in the gospel that you'd be reading in Mark and you'd find the same thing in Luke. There might be a slight difference in it, but you know it's the same story. And as I was thinking about all of this morning, and really meditating on it, I thought about the importance of us understanding how it all started. I went back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Pretty good. On down in that same chapter, verse 26, he says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And I was thinking about the dignity of a person being born. God's creation. We come into this world with a certain amount of dignity because we're created in God's image. Well, that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. The dignity of every person is established in the very beginning. Yet the world tries to change that. So that they think you're not worthy. The world will tell you not worthy unless you have gotten up every morning and looked at your goals. And unless you had looked at those goals before you go to bed at night, that you're not worthy of accomplishment. That you got to do it the world's way. And that's deception, big time. Because I know a personal relationship with the Lord, just as he talks about in Proverbs, has so much wisdom. There's so much wisdom there that we can understand through a relationship with him that we would not be able to understand any other way. We can get an education and understand law, Gary. We can understand different things that they'll educate you in the classroom. But to really understand it, you got to go out there and do it. And it become part of you. What I choose to do is to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be open to his direction through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be available and be eager to serve him. As I thought about how we are equipped, I thought of the scripture in 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, his divine power has given to us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through him you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. You can find the evil desires, as it's talking about, in the world. They got the wrong God. They might call it a goal, but it becomes a God in their life that they chase. And I know I've done that with looking at a financial statement every month and seeing it grow and thinking how great I am. But I was a Christian. I was following Jesus. But I was sure proud of what I had done during those times. And that is the way that the world can deceive us and pull us off and make us not have our eyes on him. I believe that, just as I said a few minutes ago, that we are all born with so much dignity as God's creation. And we need to strive to stay in harmony with him, spending time with him daily in a quiet time, in meetings like this where we can be encouraged that we are on the right track. And as we become more on the right track, we'll be a greater influence on others so that they might want to do the same. That is part of God's plan. And as we uncover the things that are hidden from us, as we look at it from a worldview, we uncover those things that are spiritual, and the world can't see them. The world can't understand them. But praise the Lord, if we keep our life in the right relationship with God, we understand them and we operate that way. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord.